Blog Talk Radio.
About some people call are they the financial Walendas, claiming that they were poor when they left the White House. No president since Harry Truman has left the White House and was in effect in the poorhouse. Every president that has left the White House has Secret Service protection unless they waive it, and Richard Nixon was the only one who waived it. They also get exit money, and of course their books. Every one of them has written a book. Eisenhower. Nixon, LBJ, they all either have books they collaborated with, like Ted Sorensen with the Kennedys. Of course, Kennedys had their were the wealthiest. Gerald Ford. We have the Carters, and of course the Bushes, and then Reagan. And they've all had money, so nobody leaves the White House exiting in poverty. The only president in the last 70 years would have been Harry S. Truman, who left the White House. He was pretty poor when he left. There were books written about him. He wasn't a greedy man. He did have his scandals, the vicuna coats and the refrigerators with, I think it was Harry Vaughn. But, I mean, that's American politics. Now, an interesting factor has just come up in Nevada, some people say. They're the only state that has on their ballot none of the above, and I think given what the public has been offered and the voters have been offered, maybe it's time to put that choice on all the ballots, none of the above, and maybe all the parties, including the Tea Party, will get some relevant candidates that address the issues that are facing every American today and every new real immigrant. Now, we had problems with what I call the federal grants. And I did write a book which was revised, I'm still getting over this cold, which I called Easy Pickings, and it's based on my experience as a federal program analyst who got fired for being a whistleblower, doing a project for the FBI on here in California, and when I was at the San Francisco School District as a volunteer, and how federal money came in there and how money was ripped off and given to architects. There was a big scandal in the 1980s called Telecube, East Los Angeles Community Union. They were all over the place, TV station, setting up bank accounts in out of the area, which they're not supposed to do. They're supposed to represent the community. A lot of money was diverted for projects that were not relevant to what they claim they were doing and what their mission was. Now, the U.S. attorney who prosecuted them successfully, later was named a federal judge, and I think he's on retirement status up in the Ninth Circuit. We have a scandal here in Northern California, especially in San Francisco, with the Leland Yu, who was both a San Francisco school district board member and also a board member of the San Francisco City Council, or what we call Board of Supervisors. And he has been indicted by the federal government, U.S. attorney, and I don't think they've gotten into all the things that he was involved in, which his name was on. He was chairman of the Finance Committee of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, in which he approved, along with others, millions of dollars of federal funds to go to these bogus nonprofits, and also to employees of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, which is highly illegal. Among the controversial politicians who are running their mouths like a sewer pipe is Nancy Pelosi, who claims to be a Roman Catholic. We call people like Pelosi smorgasbord Catholics. She is criticizing the Archbishop of San Francisco, Salvatore Corleone, which she seems to have forgotten that as a priest and as the presiding bishop of the diocese and as the president of the American Bishops Conference, he has taken an oath and he has an obligation as a priest and as a Roman Catholic to uphold the teachings of the Catholic Church. He has not had any right, and he has not exercised or said he's had this right to tell other people what they can do about their personal lives, such as sexuality, marriage. He says we oppose it because we're Catholics and that's our obligation. But he's not saying like the Muslims do to homosexuals, in which they give them 100 lashes and then hang them or torture them or sodomize them, which they have done. Now, it's very interesting that the people who are criticizing the Roman Catholic Church here in America about the gay marriage issue overlook the fact that there are Christian denominations that oppose gay marriage. There are Orthodox Jewish adherents who oppose gay marriage, but they're not. Their opposition is not brought up, only that of the Roman Catholic Church. And also Pope Francis did not say that he approved of gay marriage. All he said was, which is regular Catholic teaching, is you love the sinner, but you hate the sin. But he's not saying we're going to go out and burn these people at the stake, tear up their marriage certificates, or do other things. So he just says we as Catholics, we oppose this. That doesn't mean we can force the other people to give up their beliefs. Also, this whole issue about the political fiction of a San Francisco value, there is no such thing. Out of one side of their mouth, these media morons are talking about San Francisco values, and out of the other side of their mouth, they're talking about San Francisco diversity. That's a contradiction in and of itself. There are a lot of people here in San Francisco and in Northern California who disapprove of gay marriage, the gay agenda, crotch politics. There are an estimated, and they are diverse. They're conservative Asians, conservative Latinos, conservative Jews, conservative Christians who are ethnic white people. But they're not going around saying we're going to burn gay people, we're going to discriminate against them in housing and on the workplace and in schools and all that. They're just saying we oppose this as this is part of our religion, and we have a right to oppose this as part of our religion. We do not have the right to impose our views and our religious beliefs on other people, but we can say this is what we believe, this is what we oppose. And this whole issue of San Francisco being diverse, if San Francisco is diverse, which it is, that means that not everybody is in lockstep with these media morons who talk about the San Francisco value. There's no such thing. It's a political fiction. Among the other political fictions, and we're in Gay Pride Month, is that of the milk myth. Harvey Milk came from New York. He served in the U.S. Navy. We don't know about his discharge papers, the DD-214. We assume that he served honorably, and that's good for him. However, he was an advertising man who failed in New York, came to San Francisco, floundered around here. He was apparently, according to Randy Schultz, who was gay, who wrote a book, he worked for the San Francisco Chronicle. He exposed Harvey Milk and Harvey Milk's attempt to lure a young boy, underage boy from Minnesota, to San Francisco to be his boyfriend or whatever. There were other issues about Harvey Milk abusing his lover, sexually harassing Dan White, Dan White, who also had his own problems. There are other gay people who didn't wear their sexuality on their sleeves who exposed Harvey Milk. That whole Milk myth is a myth. It's a fiction. It's just like this kid in Wyoming, Matthew Shepard, who, according to another gay who was a writer, Jimenez, who wrote a book and who spent 16 years investigating the Matthew Shepard brutal murder. It was brutal. But Matthew Shepard was involved in drugs, prostitution. He raped an underage boy. He sexually harassed other people, and he got away with it because his family apparently had political connections, political clout, and maybe some money. But the truth will come out. Truth will prevail. And contrary to these media morons who try to tell Catholics and Christians and Orthodox Jews what their views should be in lockstep with what the media morons think they should be or claim they should be, they forget their religious values, if any. Do they practice any religion? Were they practitioners of any religion? Do they adhere to any religion, or are they just running their mouths like a sewer pipe? You know, they need to be called on this. Now, one of the things that these people ignore is history. Either they ignore it or they're ignorant of it. You can take your choice. Gay marriage goes back to even before the Roman Empire. Nero, who was one of the Roman emperors who was part of the Claudian family, he was in a gay marriage with his lovers, and all of the horrible things he did to Christians and tortured people and other horrible things. Caligula was another one. Elagabalus used to run around Rome. He's another emperor. Dressed in drag, and it was a male prostitute, and married his boyfriend. And the ancient Egyptians, they had their gay marriages. And there were others in society. And what happened was, in all of these societies, they found a gay marriage didn't work. And so they abolished the ability to do that within that society. Now, another political scam, media moron scam, is the Southern Poverty Law Project controversy. Morris Dees latched on to an incident involving the Ku Klux Klan and black harassing blacks down in the South. And he apparently had a valid case, but then he got a big judgment against the local Claiborne, as I guess they call it down there, and the Klansmen. But then he turned this into an easy picking, and the Southern Poverty Law Project, which was exposed in the Atlantic, a liberal magazine, is exposed as a very controversial and questionable 501c3 or 501c4. And they're not the Vatican, they're not the Sanhedrin, and they need to, their finances. Nobody's been able to really look at them. And so, and these people to be held up as examples of what we should listen to, adhere to, and accept out of their mouths, out of their propaganda, it's garbage. Now, we are going to be, we're going to, we got 1,500 tapes, which we have to go through, and we're going to be putting up in our audio, out of our audio archives, Rick Hansen, who's a Canadian who was in an accident, and he ended up in a wheelchair. He did a marathon across Canada. I did an interview with him, and we're going to put it up on our Blog Talk and on our Amicus Veritas YouTube, AmicusVeritas. Very interesting, and I thank the Canadian consulate here in San Francisco, which turned me on to Rick Hansen. I met him. I think he's dead. I haven't been in contact with him. We have others, interviews with the Clydesdale Horses, the Budweiser people, the Spanish Writing Academy of Vienna, A lot of interesting stuff that probably very few other broadcasting networks have, if at all. And also today is the anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's comment about a house divided against itself shall not stand. And I think I'll play this clip. This is Raymond Massey immigrated here legally from Canada. The Massey family owned Massey Ferguson, the world's biggest tractor outfit. They also bought John Deere, which was headquartered in central Illinois. And so we're going to play just a clip from, I think this is relevant, where Raymond Massey in this 1940s film, Abe Lincoln in Illinois, so to honor this, because it's one of the things that public statements that catapulted Lincoln on the national stage. Lincoln got into trouble during the Mexican War when he opposed the Mexican War, and he said to President James Polk, a one-term president who also left the White House when he was poor, said, "Show me the spot when American blood was spilled," and that got him into trouble. But Lincoln was a rebounder, and he was a prairie lawyer, very successful. Of course, later when he debated Senator Douglas, he defeated him. And then again, the Chicago Tribune saw Lincoln as a comer, and they pushed him to become the Republican nominee in the new Republican Party for president. And they were very successful. Unfortunately, on Lincoln's second term, he was assassinated. But let me see. I think I have it here. Let me see where that Abe Lincoln is. So these are some of the interesting things. Now, we're just catching up on our stuff, and we still have a little problem with Skype. I'll have to work that out some more. But there are a lot of things out there that are just political fiction, and we need to expose that, and we will expose that. And also advise you, if you have a bicycle, don't park it overnight on the street, because there are these bicycle thieves, and we caught some of them, part of them, partial bike theft at night, where they strip these bicycles of the wheels and whatever else they can. And when you get up in the morning, you leave at night, and you've got a bicycle with two wheels. You come back in the morning, and you have no wheels, but you've got a skeleton of a bike. And, you know, some people call this an urban tax, but this is one of the problems with these bicyclists. They don't pay taxes. They don't pay for licenses. They don't pay for insurance. They don't pay for the injuries that they inflict on pedestrians and accidents that they cause. So they don't have this self-respect and responsibility to the rest of us. And so what do they care if their bicycles get stripped, you know, and they leave that carcass there. They don't remove that skeleton there, that steel skeleton there the next morning. And so we have videos of this, and something needs to be done about this. Of course, we're promoting mandatory bicycle insurance, license plates, and bicyclists who are responsible for collisions or accidents should be required, like auto drivers and motorcyclists who cause accidents, should be required to take or retake the rules of the road exam and a road test, and also to pay for any accidents that they are responsible for causing. That'll make them more responsible. We need to make it hurt for these people, because they won't pay attention otherwise. Excuse me. So let me see if I can find that again. I thought I had it, but if we can't, we'll play it Wednesday. Got a lot of things coming up this week, but we are catching up, and as soon as we get this Skype thing resolved, here we go, Lincoln-Douglas debate, and I think this is really important. Where is it? I thought I had it here. Oh, great. We've had a lot of demagogues in American politics, and we're still going to have them, but I think the American people are wising up as their pocketbooks shrink, beginning to pay more attention to the factors that are causing their lifestyle to be pushed down further, so they once were middle class to becoming lower middle class, if you can call it that. And I don't think that's what they intended, and that's certainly what they don't want for themselves when they're reaching retirement, or for their children. So you got to pay attention to these things, and we'll try to bring you up. Unfortunately, I can't find that, so we'll have it for Wednesday, and we'll play our exit theme, Politics and Poker, and I hope I have my voice back then. Where is Politics and Poker? Here we are.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets!
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse!
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyushinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, make the average guy.
This is Peter Paul Bozzola. We'll be back Wednesday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Thanks for listening.